Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. So is the loyalty that OBM provides to its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and 7-year security blanket, teamed with OBM's designation as the only, thank you, Sharp Platinum level service blanket team provider of the Browns, everything you could want.
The fact that it's the only one. Sometimes it's going to be tough to digest. It's hard to
It overwhelms me.
It is.
So you know what OBM can do, Nathan? It can tackle any of your copier problems, and you'll never scramble to keep your office running. Now the preferred document services provider of the Cleveland Browns. We have too much fun here. Visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today or call 216-485-2000. Great visit with Armani Bryant, defensive lineman for the Browns. I think this double-digit sack goal that he has is actually not crazy.
It's not crazy, and I've actually talked to a few people today, actually, as we were watching practice, who would not at all be surprised if he led this team in sacks when the season's over. That's how good he has been, and we've seen it literally every single day.
Every day this guy has brought it to practice. A guy who brings it and has been bringing it every day in his career of covering the National Football League, and he's with us today because he was at the Browns game Saturday night. He was at practice today. The one and only Peter King from Sports Illustrated. Welcome, Peter.
Vic, I don't bring it every day. I take a lot of days off.
Do you mail it in?
I mail it in almost every day.
Well, you fake it well every other day. Peter, you got to see this team Saturday night. You watched them play. You watched the Johnny Manziel debut. I don't know if you're aware of him. That's this rookie quarterback they got here. That's kind of interesting. But I got to start with this. You had this item on MMQB regarding Dante Whitner telling you that about 50% of the team is for Hoyer and the other half for Manziel. Give us a little more insight into that.
Well, I think Dante Whitner basically felt that this was not, and I don't think that people should take this at all, like the locker room is divided,
right,
and 50% want Manziel and 50% want Hoyer. I think what he meant was that I think it's 50-50, and we think both these guys can play. That is how I took what he said, not that you got this corner over here saying we better play Johnny and this corner over here saying we better play Hoyer. I don't think that was his intent at all. But I think players know, who the guy is going to be. I think players will know after the game Monday night. I think there will be a pretty good sense of who the guy should be. And I'll tell you, the one interesting thing about seeing that game the other day is that Johnny Manziel, to me, reminded me of Texas A&M Johnny Manziel. Mm-hmm. He was not tight. He wasn't nervous. He wasn't. He just playing football. That's all he was doing. He reminded me a lot. I had to do a lot of tape work of Manziel in the offseason because I went and spent some time with some coaches analyzing his game. And one of the things that I'll never forget, sitting with Mike Holmgren and a few other coaches, but David Cutcliffe, the Duke coach, when I watched tape with him, we turned the tape off, and he said, I would love to coach this guy. And I think that he has the kind of game that I think people in football are fascinated with. And I'm sure Kyle Shanahan and Dowell Loggins are having a good time sort of trying to harness that. And the one thing, Vic, I really think – he has to learn a little bit better when to say no to the run. I mean, you can't be running once a series at his size or almost any size in the NFL and survive at quarterback.
Great point. Peter King from Sports Illustrated, mmqb.si.com, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And as you watched that game and you watched Brian Hoyer, you watched Johnny Manziel, and you've said that, Monday's going to go a long way to determining this. Where would your head be at if you were the coach of the Browns with this quarterback situation?
One of the things I would say about that, Nathan, is that, in talking to Mike Pettine, he said basically they're charting every throw, they're charting every drop back, they're charting everything in this camp. So I don't know what those things say. I don't know how accurate each guy has been. I think it's a mistake to concentrate only on what you see during the game, you know, during six series in the game. Although I think that's hugely important. I don't think it's the only thing. I don't see everything else. So it's hard for me to say. I guess my only point would be that I think this should be an absolute contest. And I think if you are the coach of this team, you have to do the right thing by your team and by your players and pick the best guy. You'd pick the best guy at every position. You know, if the left guard was in competition and, you know, one guy played better than the other, you'd pick the guy who played better. So I think you have to sort of honor that. And I really think Mike Pettine is going to do that. Kyle Shanahan, they will pick the guy who's going to play the best, I think, both in practice and in at least these two games. And I don't know anything, but I wouldn't be surprised if it lasted a little bit longer than Monday. I don't know that it will, but I think if it's still really close and you're Mike Pettine, why paint yourself into a corner and decide before you really have to?
Peter, don't you think, though, that this is really, in many ways, fait accompli, because they've invested the pick in the guy, and usually, almost always, I can't recall too many times when that hasn't meant that guy is going to fast track to the starting job, even if the fast track doesn't necessarily mean the first game.
Because, yeah,
right, Brian, they know what Brian Hoyer is, and you drafted this other guy knowing that you had Hoyer, but, and you can call it a competition, but Hoyer is going to keep a seat warm for yeah, Johnny.
No question about it, Vic. I think that you say this team knows Hoyer, and they do know Hoyer, but it's a new coaching staff. And the other thing that I think is been misstated or misinterpreted, at least in, you know, from my perception in the outside world, is that people are talking about Brian Hoyer like he is a great old vet.
Yes,
or something like that. He started four games in his life, and he's thrown 195 passes in the NFL. So this is not like, you know, pick a veteran who, even like Josh McCown. This is not Josh McCown. This is not, certainly not a Kurt Warner situation. It's a guy who, impressed the coaching staff last year and impressed the front office. I mean, the ironic thing of all this, I've always considered that Mike Lombardi was his big champion. And so now Lombardi's gone, and he's still here. So it isn't like, you know, Kyle Shanahan got the job and said, Hoyer's my guy. Kyle Shanahan got the job, and Hoyer was here. Right. So they're going to see what happens. And now I think it's a very, very interesting monkey wrench that's been thrown in with Rex Grossman. Kyle Shanahan loves Rex Grossman.
Yep.
I'm not saying that he thinks that Rex Grossman's the guy to win two Super Bowls, but Kyle Shanahan really likes him and really trusts him. So I look at this as another situation that, just what happens in the next couple of weeks if Grossman really looks good and they give the job to Manziel? I don't know what's going to happen, but all I know is that clearly Grossman has far more experience as an NFL quarterback, as an NFL starting quarterback, than Hoyer does.
A lot of people won't give him credit, but nonetheless, he did take a team to the Super Bowl with,
yep,
the Chicago Bears in 6 years with Kyle Shanahan across Washington and Houston. Peter, the big monkey, you talk about a monkey wrench, the one that's hanging out there for this Cleveland Browns team and both of these quarterbacks, no matter who starts, is what's going to happen with Josh Gordon? And I would love to get kind of your take on the whole situation, what you think will happen with him, and kind of how you see it fitting in with the overall NFL landscape, given, you know, what's happened with Ray Rice and what's happened with Jim Irsay, and kind of how this all fits into what the NFL's trying to do.
Well, I mean, I guess I would look at this story and say that obviously he is a multiple offender in the NFL's substance abuse on the NFL substance abuse policy, which, I don't think anybody would look at that and say, well, you know, that's as bad as steroids or anything like that, and that's as bad as what Ray Rice did. Nobody would say that, but the fact is, apparently, and I have to use the word apparently because these are private proceedings, and I truly don't know what happened, but for this to be a threat of a half-season or full-season ban, obviously, this is a multiple situation of testing positive for Josh Gordon. And I would just say this. We'd say whatever we want about how the policy stinks and they shouldn't be it, but if you're a football player and you know, and again, I don't know what happened, but I'm going to give you a for example. But if you're a football player and you know that if I smoke marijuana and get caught, I could be put into this drug program. And then if I smoke marijuana and get caught a couple more times, I'm going to be suspended for 4 games. And then if I get caught again, I could be suspended for the full season. And then, you know, at some point, don't you say to yourself, I have to stop this. You've got to be disciplined enough to stop this. And he evidently is not. And in my opinion, the best thing that he could do in the next however many months, 3 or 4 months, however long this is, the best thing he can do is set himself on a course of sobriety. And look, I'm not being a holier-than-thou guy and say that, you know, marijuana is the worst thing on the planet or whatever it is that was used. But I am saying, if it's against the rules, if in my business it was against the rules to drink, Pilsner, every night. Well, I wouldn't drink Pilsner. I'd find something else to do as my vice. So I think he needs to take care of his life before his career is totally taken away from him.
Peter King from Sports Illustrated joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Peter, some observations of Mike Pettine. You got to see him coach his first game Saturday night. You've got to see him run practices here and get a feel for what he does. Give me a sense of what you see of Mike.
Well, I think that he has the right temperament and the right idea about being a coach, okay? I think he understands. You know, it was funny. I was in Minnesota the other day, spent some time with Mike Zimmer. And Mike Zimmer, it was almost be careful what you wish for. He loves the job, but all of the stuff that goes along with it, he was like having to take a deep breath and say, wow. All this stuff that you have to do, the media and all that stuff. It's not that he's unhappy, but he's saying, wow, there's a lot to do other than coach the team. And Mike Pettine, I think, even in a – people underrate Cleveland as a sort of a media and kind of football rabid place. Not underestimate the football rabid part, but there's a heck of a lot of media here covering this team. And there are a lot of demands on a coach's time. And I think he is well-equipped for that, well-suited for that, because he's good in front of a camera. He's good. He's a soundbitey coach. And I think he's going to get that part of the job. And I also think that he understands that at the end of the day, there's no magic formula. There's no magic potion. You have to win or you're getting whacked. That's the way football is. That's the way the coach's life is. And I think being the son of a coach, he understands all of that. He understands it all too well.
He certainly does know that. Peter King from Monday Morning Quarterback and Sports Illustrated with us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Now, the Browns took, you could call it, a very unique path to get to the point where they are headed into this 2014 season. You touched on Mike Pettine. The other piece of that puzzle would be the general manager, Ray Farmer. Have you got a chance to talk to Ray, and what are your impressions on what he's been able to do in the limited time he's been in charge?
Well, I think Ray, one of the things I believe he really wants to do and is trying to do is to really restore some of the, kind of privacy and to operate the team more like I'll use an example. I think to operate the team more like, say, the New York Giants than the way the Cleveland Browns have been operated, which is, you know, everybody on the outside seems to have a pretty good idea about what's going on the inside. I think Ray Farmer wants to do his best to operate this team in a kind of a leak-proof manner, and in also a way that is, it's all about football. It's not about anything else. It's not about any individual agendas. It's all about football. I was asking him today about, so when, what's your gut feeling about this quarterback decision and when it'll be? He says, hey, that's not my decision. It's Mike Pettine's. And I think he's, what he's trying to do is he's trying to make this a professional franchise where duties are delegated and those people carry out their duties and they do it all in a very professional way. And look, Ray Farmer's got a great reputation with people around the league. He's very well respected. And, you know, if they get the quarterback right, it's going to be a happy honeymoon for both Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer. If the quarterback isn't right, then obviously there's going to be some problems. But I think that they're on a good road at the beginning of their regime.
Peter, thank you so much for taking the time to join us, and we look forward to seeing you down the road.
Sounds great, Vic. See you. Thank
you. Peter King, Sports Illustrated, MMQB. Check out all his great work, and we already know you do. We've got much more coming up on this Football Tuesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. You're going to hear from the head coach, his news conference, and other sound bites. Rex Grossman, we got the interview with him as well. Jason Gibbs, our producer, getting that ready for the show as well. So a lot coming up in the course of the show. Stick around. Much more on ESPN 850 WKNR.